Chair and panel, I speak on behalf of Maxas and ANA1 to ANA6, Phil Johnson, Julie McFarlane, Graham Sawyer and the Reverend Matthew Einson. The Anglican Church can be a force for good. It creates communities. It can help those in need. There are very, very many worthy people doing much good. But from a safeguarding perspective, the Anglican Church presents us with a huge unregulated area of activity. It is a magnet for the vulnerable. It draws in children, youth groups, choirs, and provides spiritual guidance. We have seen through previous investigations in Chichester and Peter Ball that it is a place where paedophiles have good reason to feel safe. I won't dwell on the obvious problem of the church's web-like structure. You have heard previously that I have advocated a more corporate structure to bring accountability, fines, and the enforced raising of standards. At present, we have bishops as the final arbiters on safeguarding responses. This brings inconsistency and a temptation to protect individuals and the organisation's reputation. We must find a way to break this dangerous safeguarding structure. The church has tried to plug the holes exposed by the Chichester inquiry. It has introduced many detailed responses, some of which are an improvement, but as we will see from the evidence of Jo Kind of Maxas, they are inadequate, and she considers them to be a smokescreen to get through the current scrutiny. The General Synod document, GS2092, is a report by the National Safeguarding Steering Group of 2018. Its inquiry reference is ACE026363. It recommends that clergy, lay readers, church wardens and PCCs have due regard for guidance issued by the House of Bishops. This phraseology is inadequate. On the mandatory referral externally would be acceptable to Maxas. On changes to the clergy discipline measure, the church is, in its words, considering external scrutiny. This obfuscatory language demonstrates an unwillingness, in my view, to change unless forced to do so by legislation. Again here, independence is needed to enforce dismissals, fines and awards of compensation. Cultural change will only come through the enforcement of tough penalties. The GS2092 document argues that independent oversight would mean the church contracting out of its responsibilities. In fact, what happens if independence is not introduced is that once the heat of ICSA scrutiny and potential legislation dies down, the church will revert to type. It will deal with issues quietly and internally. This is what organisations with reputations to protect do. All the measures announced fail to deliver true independence or mandatory reporting. If a bishop wishes to avoid reporting to the police or social services, he or she can still legally do so, even after the new proposed initiatives. Bishops are hopelessly conflicted, to be fair to them. Hopelessly conflicted in their duties. On one hand, they have the good name of their diocese and staff to protect, and on the other, they are tasked with responding well to allegations of abuse. The proposed ombudsman service is a mere fig leaf. It would only cover those persistent and strong enough to complain about the poor handling they have already endured. It is clear that the church is unwilling to commit to independence. The GS2092 proposal also uses vague language, such as agreeing to develop and analyse options, to develop proposals, to consider findings, to commission a working report, and to undertake an analysis. There is no commitment by the church to relinquish control of responses to safeguarding concerns. This is deliberate behaviour. The church is trying to buy time until ICSA goes away. Maxas will not go away, and I hope that the ICSA recommendations will be very forceful. Until true independence